Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan Live. Cold beers and cheeseburgers in Euless. Please do join us. It's a great place to watch football, get something delicious to eat and drink. They're celebrating their one-year anniversary here in Euless. Daily specials and lunch specials Monday through Friday. October's beer of the month is the New Belgium Voodoo Ranger. $4 for a 16-ounce cold beer, $6 for 22-ounce. And the happiest happy hour in Texas every day 3 to 6. So we are now in the midst of cold beers and cheeseburgers happy hour, delivering food and drink specials rivaling any in Texas. And they are the official DFW ASU alumni watch party. This is where we found these guys out in Arizona. They're in Arizona State hub for you there. If you're a fan of that program, you want to come watch them. All righty. Let me tell you, tomorrow there's two spots, actually three, to pick up a 2025 G-Bag Nation flag. They're so hot, modeled after the state flag of Texas. Mansfield Hurtado 10 to 10:30, Fort Worth Hurtado 11:30 to 12, then the Highland Hotel for our Red River watch party from 2 to 6, and it's going to be a time. So we'd love it if you can join us as Carter Freeman joins us now, host of Fan University. And I believe he's heading up to UNT. Of course, he's an OU guy. He'll be all over the game tomorrow as well. Carter, how the heck are you?
Doing great, guys. I wish I was heading up to cold beers and cheeseburgers, have one of those burgers you're talking about. They sound great, but instead we're fighting traffic to go watch one of the biggest Group of Five games of the year.
Yeah, can't wait to get your thoughts on that. And, of course, you'll have Fan University tomorrow. Is that 9 to noon?
Yep, 9 to noon. We'll have Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network. We got a big, Oregon-Indiana Big Ten matchup tomorrow. We'll talk with Eddie Radosovich from Sooner Scoop to preview OU Texas and get you covered with all the big games 9 to noon tomorrow.
You're all over the entire college football nation. I love the show. But, I know the Sooners are so near and dear to your heart. I consider you the number one source for this question. Is Mateer going to play?
Ever since he got hurt and I saw it was his thumb and I saw the injury timeline, I just thought he was going to play because the way that kid plays on the field and the fact that in that Auburn game where he got hurt, he completed 16 of 17 passes after the injury or something crazy like that. So as long as it wasn't a fear of re-injury, I thought he was going to play. And last night on the SEC availability reports that the conference puts out now, he was listed as probable. So I think 100% you're going to see him in some capacity tomorrow. He's going to warm up. He's going to test the thumb. He's going to see if the grip is there. But I just think the way that kid has played at Wazoo and at OU for the couple games he's been there, if he can be out there, he will be out there.
You know, I grew up in rural Washington State. A lot of my Cougars friends are so mad about the portal and losing Mateer and everything. But that's the price you pay being in college football these days. So I would gather from your answer, though, you think Mateer is going to play well if he does.
I do. I think that he's just the kind of player it's all up to this injury, right? This thumb. We don't know exactly how he's going to react to post surgery because the way he played with the injury was before he had the operation. But I do think if he goes out there, I would expect nothing but, 100% from him because that's just the kind of player he is. And I know you mentioned those Washington State fans. Like, it is disappointing that he doesn't get to build a legacy there. But he's from Little Elm, Texas. I mean, he's a local product, and he grew up watching this game. I believe I watched an interview with him. He said he only went once, maybe a decade ago. So I think it would mean a lot to him to go out there. And if he's going to go out there, I do think he'll play well.
Hey, Carter, I know we've on here in our backyard, we're focusing on the Texas OU game, but I'm also got my eye on Oregon and Indiana. And why do I think Oregon is a better big game team than what Indiana is?
Because you saw Indiana last year have two opportunities as a in a top 10 matchup that they were a part of. They lost both of them. And they've only played in four top 10 matchups in their school's history. Two of them were last year. They lose both of them. Dan Lanning, as Oregon's head coach, has already played in eight top 10 matchups with Oregon. And he's split them. He's 4-4. But still, Lanning and Oregon have the experience in these high-stakes games, including 2 weeks ago in their game against Penn State, right? And they go into Happy Valley and get a win. And we can talk about how Penn State isn't as good as we all thought they were. Just forget that I picked them to win the national title this year, but that's still a big win for Oregon. So it just seems like they understand how to play in these games and win them. I love Indiana. I love Kurt Cignetti. And if they're going to go into Eugene and get a win, they got to get off to a fast start. I think that's going to be the only way they'll be able to keep up with Oregon.
I don't think I'm capable of making an objective Oregon opinion because so much has changed since I covered him, and I covered him for like 10 years in the Pac-10. I guess things are different out there in the Big Ten and the recruiting is open, but I've always just thought that when it comes down to it, they will not have enough strength and power and playmaking in the trenches to really go on a championship run, especially now in the playoffs where you have to win multiples. Am I wrong on that assertion of the Oregon Ducks, Carter Freeman?
No, you saw it last year when they played Ohio State, and Oregon was the number one seed in the country last year, and they get absolutely mollywopped, one of my favorite words to use, when they played Ohio State in the playoff. It wasn't even close, and that was a team that Oregon had beat in the regular season. So I think until they show they can win all those games in a row, people talk about Oregon like they're a blue blood, but they don't have a national championship. And if you really, you know, Dawson, you mentioned when you covered them, they weren't what they are now. Like, it's really been over the last 25 years that they've really become a national power. So time will tell, but this Oregon team is incredibly well-built. They've already gone cross-country to Penn State and beaten them, and Penn State is still a talented team, no matter how underachieving they may be. So we'll see once push comes to shove in the playoff time frame, but Oregon in the Big Ten now is, I think, far and away. You know, Ohio State is obviously still out there. They are the number one team, so I can't dismiss them. But they're an absolute contender, and I think it starts with watching Dante Moore, their quarterback, be the one to guide them through some of these, you know, early season transitions that they had from last year with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback.
Hey, Carter. Okay, got my eye also on a trip to Columbia, Missouri for the Tide. Everybody kind of talking about how they were ready to move on from that coach. They seem to have turned it around. Has Ty Simpson been that guy, or is there other things we need to know about Alabama?
Both can be true. I do think Ty Simpson has been that guy. He's played the best quarterback. He's been the best quarterback in the country pretty much ever since they lost to Florida State in their opening game, which looks like it's just such an inexplicable loss now that we're 5, 6, 7 weeks into the season that Alabama laid the egg that they did. But in that Florida State game, Alabama didn't have Jam Miller, their top running back. So they've gotten him back. They've gotten their running game up and moving a lot better than it was early in the year. And Alabama's got Ryan Williams at receiver, but they also got Jeremy Bernard, and Horton is another great receiver they have. They have a lot of weapons that they've been able to spread the ball around and kind of resemble a bit of those Bama offenses and the tail end of Nick Saban's time there. But this is so interesting because Missouri has played nobody, but they've absolutely destroyed everybody they played, and they've got the best rushing attack in the SEC with Ahmad Hardy. He's probably the most underrated player in the country at the running back position because he plays at Missouri, and even though they're 14th, I think, is what they are this week, he's not getting a lot of talk. But Mizzou is awesome at running the ball, and that's something that Bama has struggled with sometime early in the season. But also, Bama did just go up against Vanderbilt, who have the second-best rushing attack in the country, and outside of one long run, they were able to shut Vanderbilt down. So that's going to key how that game ends up. And it's a huge test for Mizzou to say, yeah, we're real and we belong.
Carter, should I worry about Ohio State with a trip to Champaign?
No. And until Ohio State gives up, you know, through five games, Ohio State's allowing literally 5 points a game. That's how many points they're giving up a game. That's how good their defense is that was great to end last year has gotten even better this year. And they've played a Texas. They've played a Washington, right? Like they haven't just played four FCS teams. They've played teams with legit talent, and they've managed to shut them down. And we can talk about Texas and their offense all you want, but still holding them scoreless for 58 minutes says a lot to me. So I don't think there's much worry. This is for Illinois, it's like I was a believer going into the season, but then the Indiana game just took me off that given how big they lost. And this is in Champaign, so that should help them a little bit. But Ohio State's not USC. They don't have the long cross-country travel that they have to do with the early kick. This is something Ohio State's used to. And Ohio State doesn't lose to anybody but Michigan, right? So in the Big Ten especially. So I don't think this should be any worry for Buckeyes fans personally.
How about things in College Station, though? Did Florida get things turned around, or are they just going to take a beating from the Aggies?
This seems like a classic, you know, team gets a big win over a top 10 team, and then they kind of turn back into what they were the week before, where I know that Florida has Dallas Wilson, their young receiver. He torched Texas last week, but that was also without Malik Muhammad for Texas. They were down in their secondary a little bit. And A&M, they're getting Scooby Williams back, their linebacker, and who's been a key cog for them for the last 2 years. And so many of the A&M players have been with Elko for more than, you know, his full time there. It's not like it's a full team of mercenary defensive players like other teams we've seen. Mm-hmm. So that fact, they're just so cohesive on defense, and the way they absolutely shut down Mississippi State last weekend, I think they're kind of going to do the same thing to Florida. And I think that was a great win for Florida. I think it'll get Billy Napier a couple more games, but this is going to be kind of a back-to-earth thing for them. Because I really am a believer in A&M this year. I think top to bottom with Marcel Reed and the receivers they got in the portal, plus Moss, their running back, is an excellent guy in the backfield, plus how good the defenses looked. Like, this is the A&M that I think fans thought they'd get under Jimbo. They just had to wait a couple years for Elko to come in and turn it into that.
It's Carter Freeman here with you, Fanning University, tomorrow 9 to noon. Do Sooners fans fear Arch either now or in the future?
I think in general, yes, they do, because we always, and I know you guys have even mentioned this on the show before, and I know KNC were talking about it, how you can have a top 10 OU team playing an unranked Texas team, and all of a sudden the Texas quarterback who's been poor the entire year looks like Vince Young for one game. And so there's always that fear in the back of my mind personally, because this game, as an OU fan, it always takes 10 years off my life watching it because I get so stressed because of the just things seem to even up. And with Arch, he's not played well in his two road games that he's played in, but he has played in them. So the more of those that he gets under his belt, the more comfortable he'll look in them. So I think in terms of that, yes, there is fear that Arch can live up to the five-star talent, the name that he had and people expected him to be this year, but his offensive line's not going to do him any favors. And that's something you don't really fix in a week with how poor they looked against Florida, especially the left tackle and left guard. That's something you don't fix quickly. And with OU, they've got a premier edge rusher in R. Mason Thomas. They've got a solid guy on the other side in Marvin Jones, who transferred from Florida State. And OU has four SEC-tier defensive tackles that they can rotate in and out. So up the middle, which is with the rushing attack for Texas, has been poor. You don't really get any rest from it. So that, I think, if you have fears with Arch, I think that's fair. Everything else about their offense is, I think, going to balance that out tomorrow.
Did they overestimate how they could develop internally offensive linemen? And, you know, do you make sure to correct this? You go back and hit the portal if you have young guys? Like, I know you want to bring them in and give them a plan and have them work, and they can look forward to starting, but that seems to be the critical error that was made in the team building of this Longhorns outfit.
Yeah, they had four guys leave from last year's team, which was last year's offensive line, which was an excellent line, starting with Kelvin Banks there on the left side, and that's been the biggest thing they've had struggles to replace. The thing with the portal is, you know, OU's kind of done that, where they've gone into the portal and gotten a couple guys who they've plugged and played, but offensive line and having depth there is maybe one of the hardest things to do in college football, And that's, I think, what separates the great teams from just the merely the good ones, is having that depth. And OU's already lost some players on their line, and they've had to rely on some of those guys. So, and to that point, their rushing attack, OU's, that is, has not been great this year. Neither of these teams are terribly good at running the ball. So it's just tough because Kyle Flood, the offensive line coach for Texas, has been revered, and you've seen the fruits of his labor. And you want to keep these guys, no matter their struggles now, because of the track record. And back to OU, they've had a similar thing with Bill Biedenbaugh. He's been there forever, and he's constantly churned out offensive linemen that, you know, are first, second, third round picks. So it's a delicate balance, but it's absolutely the bane of their existence right now. And Arch holds on to the ball too long. I think that's another thing that we can talk about with his development, is he needs to learn to get rid of the ball quicker. And that could be on his receivers, but I think a lot of that's also on him. It looks a lot like Jackson Arnold with OU last year.
Hey, Carter, did we find a weakness with Texas Tech's offense? Red zone trips. And they've been bad in the red zone, it seems like, a little bit this year. I think they're ranked like 103rd on red zone trips. Had some trouble against Houston last week, 2 of 8. Is this the only thing that's keeping Tech from being maybe a top 5 offense?
They did kick a lot of field goals in that game, to your point. They did stall out a lot. But the good thing for Tech is they were constantly in the red zone. So they had a lot of chances to correct that. And so far it hasn't mattered, because they're usually up by 30, 40 points by the, you know, and so they're not really having to worry about their red zone issues. But until a team really in the Big 12 shows that they can compete with Tech and go toe-to-toe with them, which they played 2 road games against 2 undefeated Big 12 teams in Utah and Houston, and they just pretty much dominated both of them. So, yes, that could be a concern at some point, but that's not something I'm terribly worried about until a team shows that they can actually compete with Texas, or Texas Tech, that is, because just looking at the rest of the Big 12, no one looks even close to them on, even with the offensive struggles, on offense, and especially on defense.
Thank you, Carter. Great work. Best of luck to you. Enjoy Denton tonight, and I guess we'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, so listen to Fan University 9 to noon tomorrow, and I got 50 minutes left on this drive, so wish me luck.
Enjoy. There he goes, Carter Freeman, on his way to Denton to watch UNT tonight. It's a huge football weekend, and we're talking a lot of Cowboys, a lot of Red River with you. Of course, tomorrow, Highland Hotel in Dallas. We'll have G-Bag Nation flags and a heck of a watch party, pool party. We're live at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless. If you're getting out of work and you're anywhere near, you should check this out. They got so many TVs. There's got to be 100 TVs in here and 80 beers on tap. And the best place to watch sports in Euless definitely is right here at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. What are we doing next, Lucius?
I got some 420 news you could use, because the segment is at 420. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's featuring a DFW hooper, a local hooper, that is facing the death penalty in Indonesia.
Ooh. Ooh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless. And we thank all the Tolos that have come by and fellowshipped so far. Tomorrow, we're going to have more flags for you. Mansfield, Hurtado, 10 to 10:30. Fort Worth, Hurtado, 11:30 to noon. In the Highland Hotel from 2 to 6 for the watch party. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's time for the 420 with L.A. Here's Lucius.
Yeah, I got some 420 news you could use because it is 427s. You know, how about that?
Close
enough. It's always 420, though. Shout out to Suave Dre. Remember Suave Dre? Dawson?
Was he a texter?
So he made this song when Dez caught the ball.
Yes.
Dez caught that ball.
Yes, yes. We met Suave Dre. Maybe in a Flagtober.
Yeah.
That is right, dude. Blast from the past. Man.
Shout out to that guy. I see you texting in, brother. All right, yeah, 420 news you can use. By the way, if you're not really from around the DFW area and you're headed to Texas, OU or OU Texas, whatever you want to call it, check that website for the fair. They have changed their rules on the baggages and whatnot, and I don't want you to get stopped at the door.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't want that to happen to you.
Yeah.
All right. Have you ever heard of this Dallas Hooper named Jared Shaw?
No.
Jared Shaw. Mm-hmm. Neither have I, really, but when this story came up, now I'm all aware of him.
Okay.
Buddy hooped for Carter High School. He is from Dallas proper.
Go Cowboys.
Okay, yeah, Dallas proper. He went to Oklahoma State. He hooped at Utah State. He was pretty good at Utah State. Anyways, Jared Shaw has been playing pro ball in Indonesia for about 11 years now, the IBL, and he's pretty good there. They said he put like 1,000 points up last season or whatnot. Anyway, he is facing the potential death penalty over some weed gummies.
Oh, no. The gummies?
The gummies over weed gummies.
You always figure the gummies will slide through security no problem. They just look like candy.
You would think.
Man, yeah, these guys were playing them too tight.
Yeah. So apparently he lives in Thailand where like the rules are a little bit looser. And playing in Indonesia, the rules are tough. So he ordered some in Thailand. Thought he was going to pick his stuff up in Indonesia.
Oh.
And it was like 10 cops there waiting for him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They don't play out there in Indonesia. Indonesia has carried out executions by firing squad.
Over weed.
Oh, firing squad.
Wow.
I can't believe this is happening.
That's brutal. You know, it must be terrifying for his friends and family here in DFW.
How about that? There's over 100 foreigners on death row right now. In Indonesia over drugs, 100 foreigners, man. Imagine going out there for Indonesia for whatever you're going for. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then you end up stuck there on death row. Oh, my gosh.
I don't even know if that's a state you'd want to mess with, you know,
no.
Or a country that you'd even want to entertain going to. I guess if that's where you do
what
your
do you
career.
Do out there?
I mean, Indonesia, I think, is an awesome vacation
Probably
spot.
Probably looks beautiful.
You know, they got the island life and everything going on. But once you hit laws that conservative.
Yeah, you can't play around, bro.
That's dangerous. You know, what if there's just something loose in your luggage that they detect? You know, it sounds like they're pulling out the magnifying glass and looking for it in any way possible. So, yeah, I guess the good news for him is he's likely the biggest guy in the jail. You know, at least he doesn't have to worry about
as long as
you can get out. That's glass half full, but probably not a glass half full he's interested in.
No,
right now.
No. He had 136 cannabis gummies, 136 little gummies. So it's not a whole lot, but it's a lot at the same time. He said that the gummies help him with his Crohn's disease.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all sorts of great medical benefits to it.
But the police put the whole gummy things on a scale and said he had 869 grams of weed, basically accusing him of having a kilo of marijuana.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, because the weight of the candies and everything.
They're weighing the candies, the gelatin, the sugar, everything is being added to your charge.
Do you think he gets some Brittany Griner relief here from the feds?
I am hoping so.
Yeah.
I'm hoping so. There's a fundraiser going out for him right now, the Last Prisoner Project, if you guys are trying to help out or whatnot, or you want to inquire into it.
Lucius, you're talking about things to do in Indonesia?
Yeah. What do you do out there? It seems like a seedy place if I want to go on
vacation. They talk about that there's like the nature, a lot of nature. They have a Komodo dragons, like a national park.
Okay, that's
take
dope.
A guided trek to see the world's largest lizard in its natural habitat. The area is famous for the marine life and the unique pink beach.
Okay, I'll do that, actually. So, I will go see the Komodo dragon and hang out on the pink beaches.
Yeah.
And drinks that have umbrellas in them and whatnot, but you can't have the.
Might take a day trip there from time.
We got volcanoes. We got all kinds of cultural things we can do there. You can relax. You can dive. There's a place called the Gili Islands, and there are three islands. They're known for their white sand beaches, crystal clear water, and excellent snorkeling, diving, especially for turtles.
Oh,
you can hang out with the turtles.
Love seeing a turtle on a dive.
Oh, my gosh. I've seen them in a Cancun. They were out there laying their eggs, and there were some babies going back to the beach at the same time. Oh, my gosh, I was in heaven, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I jumped off the balcony just to run out there and take photos with the turtles. But, yeah, if I go out to Indonesia, you best look at the rules first before you head on out there. You're going to end up on life.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get used to, hey, we can travel with this. I got my vape pen.
It's
I got
gummies.
Little gummies. It's traveling. You
it
know,
doesn't smell.
They're probably going to be cool. They're not cool in some countries.
No,
you got to look
cool,
into that.
No.
They were tracking it. Speaking of, Michael Jordan's son, Marcus Jordan, said he's sober.
Okay.
Said he's been sober for 6 months from the Colombian Bam Bam. Man, we've seen that video of him with the Colombian Bam Bam.
Yeah.
He had utensils, mirrors, and everything out there. This man is, you know.
Very sophisticated drug doer. Yeah. He had his whole travel kit with him.
He was eating watermelons in the morning, doing a little Colombian Bam Bam cocaine, bro. Yeah.
Everybody needs a pick me up. You know, some people go with coffee, maybe some nicotine. Cocaina.
So shout out to him, man, for staying sober and whatnot.
Six months, huh?
Yeah. When do you celebrate? Start like a week? 30 days? When do you start celebrating? Like, hey, man, I think I got this.
You know what's crazy is when I stopped, I knew I had stopped for the rest of my life.
Really?
And it was like 3 days in. I was like, yep.
You just knew it.
I'm not drinking anymore. You know, maybe if I get like a fatal diagnosis. Like, hey, Dawson, you only got a couple of more months.
I'm going for it.
I'm going to choose one of those to crack some coldies. But until that day, no more.
I kind of feel like, though, a guy we love, Rodeo Ron, did that last like 10 minutes or so? What were you doing?
I think he got 45 days or so.
I was so – I don't know.
Did you get a point
minutes.
For that?
Lucius said, let's go to Rodeo Ron, and I'm drinking. And Jimmy, I went, if you're with Rodeo Ron, this is G-Bag Nation, sober.
Yeah.
I've never.
Mama didn't raise no quitter.
Yeah, I never felt so defeated in my life.
I was so
proud of him, you know, and then the other day he's come out to a couple remotes and he looks great and you know he's got his gal with him and stuff, but
he was doing so well
that all of a sudden he called in and it's like and we just all stopped when he says, I'm drinking Jim Beam and we all went,
oh, sorry, Ron.
Yeah, sorry, Ronnie.
Try again, buddy. We're here for you, dog. Speaking of drinking, Paul Pierce says his DUI arrest. He said he was just asleep. He said, I'm old and I fell asleep. I was stuck in
narcolepsy.
Traffic.
Maybe just.
There was an accident on the 110.
Okay.
And he was stuck in traffic for 45 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
He took a photo of it. He said he's never been in traffic like this. And he ended up falling asleep that same time.
Okay.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
The police say, well, you kind of DUI-ish to us. So we'll see how that
John
works out.
John and Ponch of Chips said, no, you're drunk.
Yeah, man.
No,
I was asleep, fam.
Yeah,
I don't know which one I believe less, that one or Jerry Jones' explanation for the bird he flew in New York.
I can't stand that one. That really just irks me. Jerry's going to stand on that. You're a damn billionaire.
If he would have stood on that, we'd have felt a lot better about
it. Hell yeah, man. Make t-shirts with you flipping off somebody, bro. That's beautiful right there, man.
Yeah.
I had another clip. I guess I'll get to it later because we're definitely up against it.
We got LA Live coming up at 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. About an hour and 5 minutes for more Lucius Alexander. He's on.
They said Indonesia is known for sex tourism.
Wow.
Passport bros.
They didn't have that in the
Passport bros.
So that's okay.
Yeah.
But cannabis is not. Okay.
Yeah. How about
you just
got to
know what they
– you got to know the rules.
Know what they're emphasizing before you book that travel. That's tough, though. Death squad.
They firing squad. They're shooting people over drugs in Indonesia. That's a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It's one thing if you got to do like a year in jail because you were in a foreign country,
right.
Didn't understand their laws or whatever. That will end up being a pretty badass story.
Right.
Like 20 years down the road. Yeah.
Right.
This one's just terrifying. We're live at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers here in Euless. And John Machota from The Athletic is going to join us, help you preview Cowboys and Panthers. And then, of course, speaking of Ronnie, what you drinking, what you thinking is coming up at 5 o'clock. If you need something cold to drink, you're feeling about 12, 16 ounces short, just swing on by. Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless. And we're back here with Machota. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fam. Thank you. That's Kevin Walker in for Lucius Alexander in that Pimp Cup as L.A. is on location with us here. Cold beers and cheeseburgers in Euless. We're going to talk with John Mishota of The Athletic, get his thoughts on Cowboys-Panthers in a pretty big day of Cowboys news. Tomorrow we'll be at Mansfield Hurtado from 10 to 10:30 with G-Bag flags, and then Fort Worth 11:30 to noon with flags in the Highland Hotel for your Red River Watch Party, pool party 2 to 6. John Mishota, The Athletic, joining us now here on The Fan. Buddy, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing pretty good, man. Having a nice little Friday afternoon, and then Steven joined us and dropped this Miles Sanders news on us. That's a bit of a bummer. He's out for the year. What else do you know about this story?
Yeah, it sounds like it's more of the knee than the ankle, even though he was on the injury report with both. But, I hadn't really been hearing much about him, the last week or so. And so I didn't think it was anything that would be season-ending, but it sounds like it got to that point where it's going to need surgery. And so because of that, Jaden Blue's up. And, he's been trending in the right direction from everything that I've heard, that he should be ready for this opportunity. But certainly losing Miles Sanders, a veteran running back like that, you would rather him be on the field. But this is an opportunity for Jaden Blue, no question.
Do you think they push more carries immediately with him, or operate as Javonte Williams, bell cow, and maybe just a couple of series for Blue?
I still think Javonte is the bell cow. I would still have him at 15 to 20 carries, but I think you could see Jaden Blue get maybe 5 or 6, and depending on what he does with that workload, go from there. They obviously need another back. You're not going to give Javonte Williams 25 carries a game, and so that's your best case. Is if Javonte can be the bell cow, then you have Jaden Blue kind of be your change of pace guy. Maybe he breaks off a couple of big play runs. I think the big thing is that he's just got to make sure that he knows what's being asked of him, the playbook, blocking assignments, and then after that, it certainly he's got to hang on to the football. There can't be turnovers, and if he does all that stuff, with all the weapons that they have on this offense, there is a place for him to put up some big numbers here or there, because it's not like opposing defense are going to come in there and go, we got to shut down Jaden Blue. They got 5 other things to worry about.
John, here's the question you probably didn't think you were going to get today. Does, like, Phil Maffa all of a sudden play in the picture?
Yeah, he could definitely get in the mix for sure. I think that they would prefer Jaden Blue run with this opportunity just because I think
sure.
His running style paired with Javonte's is the ideal, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs type backfield, where they complement each other and they do a little bit of something else that the other guy doesn't do. I think that would be pretty fascinating, especially with how well everything's been working in the run game. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Javonte Williams, but I've covered this team when they were down one offensive lineman starter, and it led to a disaster. To be down 4 and to run for a buck 80, I don't care what team that is, that's really impressive. And so, their run game and what Clayton Adams has brought to it, to take them from being one of the worst run defense or run offenses to one of the best top 10 in one offseason, and it's not like you made these major additions in the offseason, like you didn't go out and use a top 5 pick on Zeke, or you didn't spend a bunch of money or make a big trade to go get a running back. I mean, you're doing with stuff that most of us were surprised that Javonte Williams didn't play in the preseason. Like, they were like, nah, we got this. We're going to put him on ice. He's our guy. Like, I thought that was surprising at the time, but apparently they knew exactly what they were doing.
John, what are these offensive coaches doing that the defensive coaches aren't?
That's a really good question. That is a really good question. But
sorry,
to be honest
with
you,
I didn't mean to throw you that one. But we do talk a lot about these assistants, and I think you could even throw in the wide receiver coach. Hell, they're down 2 or 3 wide receivers and still doing good things.
That is very true. That is very true. But I just feel like if I got out a piece of paper right now and I ranked all the entire Cowboys roster, 1 through 53, in that top 20, there'd be a lot more guys on offense than there would be on defense.
Sure.
There might not be very many at all. So, you know, like Shoddy likes to say, you know, he draws up plays for players. And I think that ultimately impacts things, no question about it. You look at that defensive side of the ball, and there's not a lot of guys over there that you're thinking about giving a huge contract to. Whereas on the offense, you know, even when CD's out, you still got a guy like George Pickens. You know, what would that offense look like if you didn't have Pickens and you're running out, you know, Tolbert, Flannoy, and Jalen Brooks? I mean, I think that they could still beat the Jets and maybe Carolina, but I don't know how much more success you'd have down the line after that. So I think the player part of it is big. But then I also just wonder on the defensive side if they've had the buy-in from day one that it appears they've had from the offensive side. And I think a lot on the offensive side, when you have Brian Schottenheimer in the building who has worked with the offense already, I think it's a little bit more of a seamless transition, where on the defense, the guys aren't going to say this publicly, but it is natural to just feel like, all right, another season, another new defensive staff. Cool. Like, and now we're doing something a little bit different. And so because you don't have that continuity, I think it's taken a little bit longer for that side of the ball to buy in.
And how much do you think Diggs and Bland have fallen off from their peaks, and can they get back to that level?
I definitely think they can get back as long as they can stay healthy, but that's been the problem. You know, I mean, it's, even when they've come back from injury, they're guys that are still on the injury report. They're guys that are still being limited because of issues. So if they were 100% or closer to it, I think you'd be fine in the secondary. But I just don't get the sense that they're at that 100% level there. And so I also think that not having very much of a consistent pass rush has affected them as well. You know, obviously when Diggs and Bland have had their big seasons, Micah Parsons was certainly out on the field with them, and so that probably contributed quite a bit. But I think, to me, corner is going to be a very high on their list thing to go after in the offseason, whether it be, you know, with one of those first two first round picks or in free agency. If there isn't, you know, steady improvement throughout the season, then I think that is probably a top two or three position that they'll be targeting in the offseason.
Hey, John, Steven slapped my theory about Jerry's going to wait and see how this team's going to play before he thinks about making a trade. Did I deserve that? Is that something you're hearing in the building, that, like, hey, if something happens or something comes across our desk, we're interested? I kind of felt like that Jerry was going to wait and see how these next three games went before he maybe think about making a trade.
Yeah, that could be part of it. No, I don't think that you're off on that at all. I think that
has to
factor.
Oh, he said I was. He slapped.
I heard him, and I get that. But the thing with the Cowboys for me, I've always felt like that they're more of a, you know, we need a team to call us, then we're going to do a ton of calls to other teams. And Jerry has said as much over the years. You know, from obviously it factors in with him with his success in business beyond football, that, you know, the guy making the call is probably not the one that's getting the best end of the deal. And so the tricky part is that there's so much parity in the NFL. I don't know if the other teams get bad enough to where all of a sudden they're just selling guys off this early in the season. And then how long do you wait till you make a move? And I just have gotten the sense from the Cowboys that they'll make a move if something good comes along their way, but I don't know that they're going to be super aggressive to just be constantly on the phone calling to try and, you know, upgrade, whether it be at, you know, linebacker, or maybe with this running back situation, another running back, or, you know, a defensive back or another defensive lineman. Like, I feel like something really good is going to have to come their way. I don't know that they're going to be the one that's making the call.
How confident are you in victory for the Cowboys in Charlotte?
I'm pretty confident, and a lot of it has to do with that Jets game. I mean, I just go through five games of being around Brian Schottenheimer as head coach, and they've only laid one egg in my mind, and that was Chicago. And they weren't laying an egg early. And so either between the Javonte Williams fumble up the sideline or the CeeDee Lamb injury, something went wrong there where the team wasn't the same after that. But all of the other games that they've played, they've pretty much shown up. Now, you can make the argument on the Giants that – you know, maybe they should have been a little bit more, you know, convincing in that game. But again, I guess after last night, it is what it is. Maybe the Giants a little bit better than I give them credit for. But, you know, they showed up against the Jets and they played well. They played well against the Eagles and they played well against the Packers. And so I expect them to play well in this game. And if they play well, they're just from top to bottom, I mean, coaching, players, everything, they're better than the Panthers. And, you know, I know listening to your guys' station, Steven and Jerry, you know, talk a lot about or get asked a lot about, you know, if this is a playoff team. And they never waver and say that that's their hope and that's what they expect. You can't say that if you go and lose in Charlotte. I mean, you just look at the rest of their schedule. If you really think this is a playoff team, Sunday's a must win because there's there's a stretch of games coming down that you're just not going to be able to win that many of those. And so you have to kind of be building your cushion right now. And so I do think that they will play well in Charlotte, though.
There's a lot of talk about Overshown looking good and coming back and everything. Where do you like eyeball it? You think the window's going to open for him?
He's an interesting one, you know. So I asked Brian about him this morning just because, you know, when we've been out there at the beginning of practice, especially this last week or so, you know, we've been seeing, like, Cooper Beebe was out there today on the cords, and we've been seeing CeeDee Lamb on the cords and a few other guys, but we haven't been seeing Overshown. And so I'm just kind of like, is he up on the next part of this where he's not doing any of that stuff right now? He's ramped it up because the last time we saw him on the cords, after he did some cord work, he grabbed his helmet and was doing some other type of, you know, backpedaling and other things, catching the football. And so it certainly sounds like things are coming along pretty well. The thing I go back to, though, is I don't sense that they want to rush him out on the field. So, I mean, we'll know when they open this 21-day practice window, but when will that be, you know? I still think that you're looking at right around, right after the bye, I think, is when he comes back. And if you don't make a trade, I feel like he has to be DeMarvion Overshown, hit the ground running at his absolute best if you're going to make significant improvements on this defense with just the current staff. I mean, the current roster. I think that they can make improvements. I think the defense can get better. But if you want it to be on like a playoff level, Overshown has to be outstanding when he comes back or you're going to have to make some moves.
Great stuff, John. That was outstanding. Thank you for that. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll try to catch up with you soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Salute. There he goes, John Machota of The Athletic here in the G-Bag Nation. It is time now for that one segment of the week where you're actually encouraged to call in while intoxicated. We're at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, and we want your phone calls. It's quitting time. Crack them if you got them. What you drinking and what you thinking is next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.